So I'd like to welcome everybody to, this is our second conference call for RS101 Recreation and Sports Systems. I'd like to acknowledge that I'm hosting this call from the traditional territory of the Kwinlandzaam First Nation and Tonkawashen Council. I will try and share my screen today so you can see the slides as we go through them. So thanks for that feedback. If not, if you have them open in front of you, that might work too. So. And I see Robin's just joined the call. So I'm going to pop Robin in after Melanie in our circle today. So today we're going to do a very quick round of introductions because I think everyone's starting to get to know each other's names and sometimes faces and sometimes where you're from a little bit better, but it's still nice just to remind us all of, especially if we can't see you, it's nice to hear your voice too. So we'll do some introductions, then we're going to take a look at some of the week two slides and content, and I have a variety of Jeopardy questions to ask you as we go along, just to keep you on your toes. So let's start with a round of introductions, and I will go first just so that the rest of you can think of how you're going to answer this. And I'm going to try and pop the whiteboard up as you answer it, and I'll see if this works. So it's a kind of a test for me to see how this works. So my question for you today is if you can introduce yourself again with your name, your role in your organization or community, and then just tell us about one organization very briefly outside the recreation field with whom you work. So let's, Myla, do you mind if I put you on the spot and ask you to go first? And I'm not sure if I can't hear you right now, so I'm not sure if I will close that. There we go. Give it a shot. No, I'm still just getting, I can see you're talking and I can see you're unmuted, but I'm not getting any sound. How about if I come back around to you? You're not on the spot anymore. Yes. What you can do is you can also pop in the chat too. If you can see the chat, there's a chat button in the bottom right-hand screen, and you can pop it in there just in case the audio is not working. And then at least I can read it out to everybody else. So thanks. Okay, so let's go to Igor. I've got the spinning wheel for you, so I don't know if that's my internet or yours. But why don't you try unmuting yourself and just let us know what's an organization outside the recreation field with whom you work.
Thank you. My name is Igor, and I live in Sulita in Northwest Territories, and I'm the Director of Recreation here. And very briefly, we collaborate with the RTMP and the fire department, also fire department, and that's easier to collaborate a little bit more. And in terms of making educational activities for young people and including both the recreational department and the fire department. Thank you.
Okay. So I think I caught that, the RCMP and the fire department. Thanks a lot, Igor. Misha, how about yourself? And I know you're in role transition at the moment, so just introduce yourself and your community. And maybe let us know about an organization that's outside the recreation field that you think is good to work with when you're in the recreation field.
Yeah, what I can say is I am Misha. I'm also in Whitehorse, but I will be in my strike, so soon I'll be on Kwinlandzaam and Carcross Tayish. I am the owner of Pacific Consulting. Specifically, I do nonprofit management and food system development. And one organization I work with outside of my own professional career is a group called For the Future Yukon, which is a climate advocacy group, so not necessarily recreation, but there is lots of volunteering and community engagement. But typically, even in my career, I'll work with like other nonprofits. I work with everybody, communities.
That's great. Thanks a lot. So do you see sort of a role for that group that you work with in Whitehorse from a recreation perspective?
Yeah, I mean, you know, part of it is what the whole point of it is for mental health and wellness in lieu of climate change. But that is also, it engages youth in some aspects. We work with volunteers. And I know volunteering is one of the pillars of recreation. So.
That's great. Thank you. Thanks for the introduction. When you're introducing the organization, think of one that might work, although it's not in the field of recreation, one that supports recreation. So Igor mentioned RCMP. They often support programming especially for children and youth in communities. So try and think of it that way. So Myla, if you work with EMF in your role as recreation or if you're another organization that you work with, that would be great. Okay, let's go over to Breton, way far east.
Hello. So, yeah, my name is Breton. I'm located in Iqaluit and working as a recreation manager here. Trying to think of something a little bit different, but we also do work closely with RM RCMP here as well. I know we've teamed up with them to do some fundraising for... we just actually did breast cancer awareness, and we did a little bit of a run/walk and some different things, and kind of we provide some services for them, and they help us out and also run like first aid courses for our volunteers and different things like that.
That's great. So good working relationship that supports sort of, you know, active and healthy lifestyles, which is usually what our focus is in recreation. Thanks for that, Breton. So Myla's mentioned, just coming back down the circle, and then I will go to Melanie, Robin, and Katan. So Myla just mentioned that she's from CarMap, and outside of recreation, she works with EMF, working closely with fire and RCMP. So Myla, if you can think of an organization that you work closely with in your role, in your recreation role, maybe pop that in the chat as well. Over to you, Melanie. I see a spinning wheel, but I think you might be able to introduce yourself and then let us know if there's an organization that you work with in your role with recreation, but the organization outside of the recreation field.
Do you hear me?
I can hear you, yeah. I just can't see you.
Okay. I'm Melanie. I'm the rec supervisor here in Watson Lake, and outside of my recreational work, I'm actually working, still working with the Trans-Canada Trail Organization, because I've been walking across Canada to all three oceans on the Trans-Canada Trail. So there's a lot of more work that I want to do to advocate of bringing people in the outdoors and to nature. So that's where my passion lies currently. Yeah, so.
That's great, and that's a good connection to recreation through goal number 5 of the Framework for Recreation in Canada, and also through the Parks for All document that I think you commented on and Robin commented on. And if any of you are curious, send Melanie a message because she did. I didn't hear your presentation. I think Robin and Katan might have. And I'm not sure if Nisha did, but she walked for how many years, Melanie, the Trans-Canada Trail from coast to coast to coast?
5 years, 20,000 kilometers. Yeah.
So super impressive. So maybe... maybe later on, Melanie, when we do one of our outdoor focused learning events, I can get you to share a little bit of your experience with everybody because I think it's fascinating, especially if you think of how far away Breton is in Iqaluit and where Toledo is, which I believe is on the Mackenzie River part of the Trans-Canada Trail too. So thank you. Sorry for the sidetrack there, but yeah, definitely super fascinating. Thank you. Myla said that her recreation department works closely with LSCFM, stands for Little Salmon CarMap First Nation, and also the family resources. So really important to have those relationships with the recreation department in your community. Thanks for adding that, Myra. Okay, and Robin, over to you. Our question, I'm not sure if you caught it or not, but the question is if you can just briefly introduce yourself and tell us about an organization with whom you work while you're in your role in recreation, but that organization isn't in the recreation field. Hopefully that makes sense.
Hi, my name is Robin Gillespie. I am the Rec Director for the Marsh Lake Community Center. Something that I do outside of the recreational field that is recreation, I'm not sure if it counts because it's not exactly a business, but I have a daughter, and so we do lots of, like, dress up and singing and playing and things like that. Another, I guess, recreational activity that I do with a different business that I work with is I plan, like, parties for the other business that I work for, like the Christmas party and stuff is sort of under my, one of my duties that I have to do. So.
Okay, so as far as Marsh Lake and recreation in Marsh Lake, who would Marsh Lake work with that's outside the field of recreation? Like, do you have an organization that you work closely with, like, for example, Golden Age or Yukon Council on Aging or any of those?
No. Not really. All the organizations that we partner with are recreational organizations.
Okay. Good to know. Thank you. Deanne, welcome. We're just doing a round of introductions. And Ketan, can you put thumbs up if you popped your answer in the chat? Because I might have missed it if you did. Okay, I'll scroll back up. So, Deanne, the question is, when you introduce yourself, can you tell us about an organization that's outside of the field you're working in with whom you work in your role in recreation and sport? If that makes sense. So if you're coming at this with a perspective of Squash Yukon, what's another organization that Squash Yukon might work with that's not a sport organization? And there might not be one, so that's okay. I just wanted to ask.
Hi, Karin. Hi, everyone. My name is Jan. I'm working at the Squash coach at the Squash Yukon for Squash Yukon at the Better Bodies. I'm working with a couple of the organizations right now. One of the organizations I'm looking into, I'm the president for the Cricket Yukon. We're just in the beginning of creating the thing. And I'm working at the YG as a visitor services coordinator for tourism and culture department. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Dan. So is Cricket Yukon working with tourism then, or is this you that's going back and forth?
Tourism, yeah.
Okay. That's great. So tourism is basically Yukon Tourism, an organization that you work with who is outside the field of recreation. Awesome. Thanks. And Ketan shared that she works closely with the Fire Management Office. I think that's fire marshals, right, or the ones that the volunteer fire department come under, because they own the facility that they use. So, yeah, you got to work with your facility owner. It's a very good point. And welcome, Remy. I see you just joined the call. I won't put you on the spot with a question, but if you'd just like to unmute and just tell us, I did say your name, but maybe where you are and what your role is in your community.
My name is Remy. I live in Baker Lake, and I'm a youth leader for RPAN.
That's great. Thanks. And thanks for joining us today, Remy. Nathan was on our call yesterday, and I heard it's not too cold in your community yet. There's still not much snow. So I think everyone's experiencing a late start to winter, which I guess is good for Halloween next week. So last week, we looked at how the recreation and sports system is made up of a lot of different parts. Parts that, as we talked about last week, we said should work in some sort of connected and coordinated way. In week one, we also introduced some of the big picture things, and by things I mean documents, frameworks, policies, strategies that can influence how a system works. There were also external factors like the TRC call to action and the pandemic that we had, changes in funding, things like that. So I'm just going to share my slides here as we go through it so you guys can see where I'm at. So you can see that we've spent some time worrying about our system, and it is pretty complicated. I have worked with like health systems that are also complicated, but I think it's the overlap between recreation, sports, physical activity, health, education, all the different sectors that sometimes make it, in my mind, feel more complicated like this slide shows. So if we take a look at slide 16, down there. Slide 16 shows that our recreation and sports system really has three different levels. So if you can imagine from your own little local level in your community, and sometimes our communities are in a regional level, so Iqaluit's part of the, I can't remember what region it's called, sorry, but there's like, in Nunavut there's three different regions, and that's how sport and recreation is divided among. So there's local and regional is on a small scale, and then you're going to have your territorial sort of level, and then you're going to have your national level of representation. And within each one of those sectors, you can also see that we have representation from the public sector. So public sector would be government, whether it's your local government, your territorial government, or the federal government. We have representation from private, which would be businesses. So Canadian Tire, who funds things like Jumpstart and playgrounds, or the Jade Care Foundation, that I think, Remy, you're going to take a look at. They're examples of sort of more of the private sector, although Jade Care Foundation is a foundation, so it comes into the nonprofit realm. There's some overlap there. It was set up by a private business. Then we also have sort of the nonprofit sector, which is where things like the Recreation and Parks Association of Nunavut, or NWT Rec and Parks Association, youth organizations, things like that often fit. There's a Baker Lake Youth Athletics Association. That's an example of a nonprofit. And then, excuse me, our system also includes some of those less formal community groups. So you might have a walking group or a sewing group or a group of people who get together for coffee and a chat. Those are less formal. They don't have sort of bylaws and they're not guided by societies, but they're still really important in our recreation world. So if you take a look and consider each of the sectors, especially the public, private, nonprofit, they each have a different role, and it's really important to understand their role, because if you go asking that sector to support something that you're doing and it's not their role, they're going to say no. So try to knit and understand these different sectors, that and these sectors flow through all sorts of different types of systems, not just the recreation system. So if we think about the public sector, which is in the top left of the page, it focuses on things like structure in society, laws, providing information, and it makes sure that people's basic rights and needs are met. So if you're from a municipality like the town of Watson Lake or a hamlet like Baker Lake, then you're going to, that organization fits in that public sector. The business or private sector is interesting because it can actually respond a lot more quickly, as we all know, than government can. So often the business or private sector tends to respond pretty quickly when there's opportunities or things happen. Often businesses focus on goods and services, employment, and economic growth. So a bowling alley that was run privately, like we have one in Whitehorse, is an example of a recreation-related business that would fit into this sector. It's run by some individuals, by business, and they're there to make some money. And then the social or community sector or not includes nonprofits and informal groups, and that's the ones all at the bottom of the page. This sector focuses on social development, so opportunities for growth, and it plays a really important role in providing services for people who we feel are underserved, marginalized, or excluded. So a lot of youth and seniors organizations pop up in that food bank, things like that come into that sector. So knowing more about these different parts means that you can access and use their resources to strengthen programs and services in your community. So just to see how everyone, I'm going to stop sharing for a sec. I have a little poll for you. It's going to pop up on your screen. And this is one of the questions that was in the Jeopardy. So let's see how you guys do with this question. So when it pops up, just choose your answer. That's all you need to do. And let's see what we get. So the question is, what is Canada's national summer sport? And let's see what answers we get. Hopefully everybody can see it. I got two votes for lacrosse. One vote for hockey. That must be Breton for hockey. Catan says lacrosse. Breton, did you choose hockey?
I did not, actually. I did choose lacrosse.
Okay. Just check because I know you like hockey. Any other votes in there? I've got four votes so far. Robin doesn't see it, but Robin, can someone tell me, does it just pop up on your screen when I do it, or is it, do you have to click on somewhere? Misha says it just pops up. So.
You have to click on polls on the bottom right.
Oh, you do. Okay. So if you click on polls at the bottom right, it'll show it to you.
Yeah, mine just popped up beside the chat section there on the bottom right side.
Yeah. I know for me, I can't switch to the chat because it gets rid of the poll. Okay, well, I think we got a few different votes in there. Looks like lacrosse wins. So, yes, you're right. So, pretty interesting. A lot of people aren't aware that lacrosse is actually Canada's national summer sport. Personally, I vote for county, but just okay. So that was one sort of way that we can get to know a little bit more about the system. So I'm going to ask you one more question. So if you chose lacrosse, you get 500 points for that answer. And then this doesn't let me save it, so I have to go end poll and then create it. And so here's the next question coming up. So it takes me a second to set it up because for some reason it won't let me save it. This one is about a school that takes place in a natural space. So there is one of those in Yellowknife and there are some of those in Whitehorse right now. So I'm going to give you four answers in 2 seconds and let's see if what you come up with for the answer. So here comes the poll for you. So you might have to click on it again if it, down in the bottom right if it doesn't pop up. So what is the school called that takes place in any kind of natural space? And this is worth 200 points in the Jeopardy game. I got one vote coming in. I got a vote for Wilderness School. One for forest and nature, one, two for on the land, three for on the land, four for on the land. Two for forest and nature. Yeah, so what that is, I'm going to show you, I'm going to end the poll. So we've got more for on the land, which is really something that resonates with us in the north, but the actual school is called Forest and Nature School. And there's a number of schools that are set up across Canada, and there's training that people actually do to run schools in outdoor natural spaces. So thanks for that little diversion. Katana is using the poll, which is down next to the chat. So in the bottom right-hand corner, there should be a little tab that says chat and one that says poll, but I've just closed it. So I'll let you know if I open another one. So I've got a question that's going to be a little bit bigger for you coming up here. To lead into it, I just want to remind you that what we do, oh, this is shown on slide. Oh, okay. Here, I'll share the slide. Sorry. Share my screen. So if you haven't had a chance to do it, we just did a couple of questions from Recreation and Sport System Jeopardy. And it explains to you on slide 17 how to play that. And it's just a fun way to learn some facts fairly quickly. You can also use it to challenge your coworkers or other people if you want to. So as you can see on slide 18, recreation leaders often establish relationships with sectors outside of our field. So you might coordinate events or programs with people like RCMP, who you've mentioned, with people in health, with other emergency services, with advocacy groups, things like that. So slide 18 gives you some examples of the different types of categories that we've talked about so far. A really interesting thing here is to take a look at, like, if you were to print off slide 18 yourself, for example, and take a look at where you work the most. So if your most of your relationships are in your local community public government, consider, are there opportunities to build relationships elsewhere? So a stronger recreation program is supported more by a network of relationships rather than just relationships that are very tightly knit. So consider that for something that you might want to look at yourself. So my next question for you is, when we work with others outside of the recreation field, what are the benefits and what are the challenges? So I'm going to pop that question in the chat. And I'm going to start with Igor, because if we can go Igor, Misha, Breton, Melanie, Robin, Deanne, and Remy. And if you have, if you'd like to answer in the chat, you can. I was going to use the whiteboard, but I think it makes it so I can't see everybody, so then I am not sure what's going on. So let's just have a conversation about working with others outside of the field of recreation. So just share, perhaps, Igor, one benefit of working with others and maybe one challenge, and then we'll see. You guys can add to that list as we go. You can also say somebody's already said what I was going to say, and that's okay too. So, Igor, any thoughts about when you work with people, like when you're in recreation and you work with people outside of recreation, what is one of the benefits, what is one of the challenges? And are you able to unmute, Igor? I think you're still muted. I can't hear you. Yeah, it's not, I'll come back around to you. Your mute is showing that it's still on, so I'll come back around. So, Misha, are you able to unmute? If we all have problems unmuting, then there's a problem with my system.
Okay, so I would say one positive is more like knowledge resources that are available, and one negative is they could take longer. It takes longer to like get a result.
Yeah. For sure. So working with other people always takes more time, but it can generate a better and richer resource, knowledge resources. So thanks for that. Let's go Breton and Melanie, then Robin. Breton, any thoughts about when we work with, from recreation, when we work with people outside of our field, what's the benefit and what's the challenge?
I think a major benefit is just making more connections in the community, like moving forward. If, you know, you're hosting events, looking for volunteers, sometimes it's easier when you have connections made with others outside of the recreation field. Maybe you need use facilities for different events or certain things like that, just getting to know more people. I think some of the challenges sometimes is just from my experience in the past, sometimes people maybe expect something from you in return in terms of like offering them something if you're asking for help, or like what can you provide them sometimes, which can be a little bit of a challenge.
Yeah, so that expectation that if I do something for you, you'll do something for me.
Yes, exactly. And a lot of the times it can be like mutually beneficial, but sometimes some people expect a little bit more, I guess.
Yeah, so there's also there's an imbalance, I think, sometimes in relationships that way. And people do tend to look at recreation and what we do in our field as doing a lot. So, but as you pointed out, those community connections and the ability to use different facilities, like Katan pointed out, that their facility is owned by the fire marshal's office. So it's very important to have those. Thank you. Melanie, does it work for you to unmute and share perhaps the benefit of working from recreation with people outside of recreation and maybe a challenge?
Yes. What I was thinking is that it opens up a broader perspective on needs or also demographics that are getting involved with recreation. And I agree with Preton, I'm not sure if I say your name right, about building connection in the community. Like, I think that's a big bonus. And then the negative that I see is that maybe other organizations, they're already having a set focus on other priorities that may come first. So yes, there may be a longer waiting time until they get back to you because it's not on the top of their priority list. So that could be a negative.
Yeah, that's true. So and they might not get back to you in the time frame that you need them to get back to you. That can be hard too. So thank you. We're going to go then from Melanie to Robin, Deanne, Remy, and then Katan, if you want to pop in the chat too. I see Myla already has. So over to you, Robin. If I know you mentioned that from a Marsh Lake perspective, you don't work with a lot of groups outside of recreation, but can you imagine if you were to what some of the benefits might be and what a challenge might be?
I mean, I think it's always good to work with people from all different things. Like, I think more perspectives is always going to be a benefit. And then one of the challenges that I've found is, especially if it's something that requires funding, like oftentimes I'll need to get a quote and then submit that for funding and then wait to hear back from the funders and then go ahead, which can be really confusing. Or like, I know with like lots of contractors, they don't really understand why there's such a big delay between like, here's what I'm going to charge you, and then I'm like, okay, I'll get back to you in like 3 weeks when I get an okay from the funders to be able to go ahead with this project.
Yeah, and sometimes it's more like 3 months or so. It's a good point. So especially if you're working with people outside of recreation, they don't understand some of the processes that we have in the system that might take longer. So thanks for sharing that. And as we are going around our circle, you're welcome to say I agree with what everyone else has said or pass too, because it gets harder a little bit putting those of you at the end of the circle on the spot. So, Deanne, any thoughts about if you've worked with people from inside the recreation and support system with people outside or groups outside, what the benefits and challenges might be?
So I'm totally agree with the Robin, what Robin said. She just spoke my mind, right? So the benefits we get it, like we learn a lot, and you know, it's always like me as a me, and I don't understand, let's say, working for writing a proposal to get some funding, right? So this is our thought we are having. We don't understand that they're, you know, what they're thinking, what's their way of doing it. So that's the one thing when you apply for funding or looking for volunteers, what the volunteers are looking for. So, you know, getting the connection, connecting with the people, that's the benefit you can get it. And the challenge, so challenges is like, this is also the challenge too, right? Understanding the different differences and understanding the different mindsets, right? Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. And whether that's a mindset, like from you're coming from a nonprofit sector and you're trying to work with a business, or whether you're at a local community level and you're trying to work with a federal, somebody at a federal level, those different ways of looking at this can be quite challenging. So thanks for sharing.
One of the examples I was in Kuwait and I was working as a executive director for one of the stadiums there. And so my background is like my sports, I'm coming from the sports background, right? And my manager, he's just coming from the finance mindset, right? He don't understand anything about the sports, and coordinating and talking to him, and you know, like I'm feeling that I'm doing so much. I wrote my proposal, like 100 pages proposal about all this stuff. What he did, he just scrapped my 98 pages. He just took like last two pages, the numbers, and he said, yeah, I know whatever you're doing, you're doing great. I'm not interested to see all this stuff, right? I just want to see the number. At the end of the day, the CEO or the head of the organization, they're going to look the number, how much you're making or something like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, thanks, Deanne. And I think your point might lead into like Remy and Breton are from Nunavut, where they're, and you work for Hamilton Municipalities, where you have an SAO, which is a senior administrative officer. And I've heard that maybe not so much in Iqaluit, but in other Nunavut communities, that, and also in NWT and Yukon, that sometimes your SAO or your CAO has no knowledge whatsoever of recreation, like nothing. And so all they care about is, do you have, like, are you making money? And it's like, well, recreation doesn't even make money. So definitely a challenge. So working with people outside of our sector can be challenging, but it can also bring new perspectives. So thank you, Deanne. Remy, I'm wondering, you'll skip the question, but does that make sense that sometimes in your community, you can just answer yes or no in the chat, sometimes in your community you have people come in who might be like your FAO or mayor and council, and they don't know a lot about the benefits of recreation. So if you think that's true, Remy, just maybe pop that in the chat, yes or no, that would be great. Ketan, I don't know if you popped in the chat or not, but I do see that Myla mentioned that some benefits are funding opportunities. So that's for sure. You can usually reach out, like if you looked at that table that I showed you, I'll come back and share my screen in a sec. Funding opportunities and other organizations can definitely support what you do. I like what Myla's written here, that some challenges might be organizing a group of people can often be like herding cats. So they sort of scatter as you're trying to bring them all together, and that is definitely challenging. So, Igor, coming back to you before I share my screen, is your mic working now to unmute?
To unmute?
Yes, now it's working as I muted previously.
Okay.
So I can say regarding one of the benefits, I can mention the private businesses that they have a solid understanding when we need to support our athletes or we need to support one of our programs. So they are very supportive in that area. And one of the subjects I would mention, community groups, also what Diane mentioned, that sometimes it's us, and the recreation comes like after that. So, but I believe that we are going to work together and we will collaborate and to make Tulisa a stronger and more vibrant community.
Yeah, and there's definitely a commitment. Yeah. And I think somebody, like you said, has to sort of take the lead on that. That's, you know, we can't always rely on other people to come to us, although we're very busy in recreation and it's nice when they do. But we have to know who to reach out. So I just wanted to go back to this slide. I'll share my screen here. If I missed anyone, just let me know. My apologies, but let's see here. Where is the screen that I wanted to share? This one right here. So if we go back to this sort of matrix that I have on slide 18. Again, one of the things that I think is a challenge is just even knowing who to reach out to. So if you look at this here, there might be people that you don't know or organizations or sources that you're not even aware of. I reached out to somebody in Nunavut to ask, who's the contact for NWT and Nunavut Lotteries? And she goes, I don't actually know. you want to take a look at this slide and have a look and see, maybe go through, print it through, check off the types of groups and organizations you do work with, and then see where there's gaps, where you can build it a bit further. You also mentioned, Milo mentioned funding in her post in the chat, and I just wanted to point out, if you look under private and business, we've got some really great supporters of the recreation system in the north. So Northwest Health does a lot in our communities across all three territories. Canadian Tire, the Jumpstart program, the playgrounds, the accessible playgrounds they've been building, Canadian North supporting travel, Arctic Inspiration Prize, even Mountain Equipment Co-op, if you're not familiar with their community grants, take a look at what they do. There might be Baffinland Lines in Nunavut, Air North in the Yukon, and then I've heard like your northern stores, your co-op stores, your sports stores. The private businesses, there's a lot in there. Just try and figure out who you do work with and who else you could work with. Because we can't achieve the full range of recreation benefits alone. So if recreation does foster the well-being of individuals and communities, we need other people to do it. So if you look at this slide, slide 20, you can see I just listed some of the different sort of others outside of recreation that we might consider working with. I know that feels overwhelming, but I think that you can be deliberate and sort of target. Because these multi or cross-sectoral relationships, like the ones that you just described, can also help us to address some of the very complex social issues like childhood obesity, poverty, climate change, and prevention of chronic diseases. So thanks for that's a pretty deep conversation. People do like numerous courses just on how to work with others. So I've got a little lighter thing. I've got a poll for you to try. And this one was my Jeopardy question that was the bonus one. So let me launch it. I'm going to go start poll. And if you click on polls down in the right-hand side next to the chat, not the whiteboard, but down on the right-hand side, you might see what award, established in 1951, serves as a proud symbol for Indigenous peoples in Canada. Any thoughts on the answer for that one? I've got four answers that you can choose from. Oh, and I didn't make this one anonymous, sorry, but I can see who's jumping in there. So we have the People's Choice Award, the Bruce Kidd Leadership Award, the Tom Longboat Award, and the True Sport Award. Anyone else care to jump in and vote? Japan's got the Bruce Kidd Leadership Award. So we've got a bit of a selection there. So if you guessed the Tom Longboat Award, you get an extra 500 points. So the Tom Longboat, I have no idea, exactly. But I added that in because this is kind of a cool little piece of our system. Sometimes knowing the system and where we've come from helps us move forward. So Tom Longboat was actually an Onondaga distance runner, and he was born in Six Nations Reserve in 1887 on June 4th. And he's actually one of the most celebrated and accomplished athletes in Canadian history and one of the world's greatest long-distance runners. He helped establish marathon running as an international sport and won marathons such as the Boston Marathon in 1907, and he's in record-breaking time. Tom is a member of the Canadian Sports Hall of Fame and what's called the Indian Hall of Fame. So in 2008, this is kind of an interesting tidbit for anybody who's from Ontario originally. Ontario passed an act proclaiming June 4th of each year to be Tom Longboat Day. So kind of just an interesting piece of information that I think we don't often know. And just to demonstrate that understanding our system and where we've come from and where we are going can be a great way to work with our system. So just going back to our slides here, I've got one more for us to think about before we wrap up today's call. And it's to do with how we work with others. So if you have a look on slide 21 here, you can see that there's different ways that we work. So networking is one type of relationship where we might exchange information. So I'm telling you what we're going to be doing. So I tell you we're offering a special event on Halloween. Coordination means that we align our activities with the activities of others. So we're going to offer a Halloween bonfire. What are you going to do? Let's make sure we don't do it at the same time. Cooperation is when you might share resources like funding or an office or jointly deliver a program or special event. So you often hear, let's partner on this. We'll do this together. So let's maybe the Village of Carmack Recreation Department works with Little Sam and Carmack First Nation Recreation to co-host something, and they work together. And then collaboration is a lot more work. It's also when the work you're doing benefits not only all of the organizations involved, but also the stakeholders and the public. So it has a lot more impact. So I'd like to think back to the organization that you mentioned in your introduction. I do have those written down, so if you can't remember what you said, I can remind you when we go around. And then I have a question about this slide. So I'll have to leave the slide up. I'll pop the question in the chat. And the question is, how would you characterize or how would you describe that relationship? Is it more about networking, coordinating, cooperating, or collaborating? And Misha, I'm going to put you on the spot first. It might not work to answer that question, so feel free to pass if you need to. We'll see you next. Oh, Robin, there's no conference call next week, so I'll send out a reminder of that. So thanks for letting me know you're going to sign off. Misha, if you want to unmute, if you were working, say, in recreation, the For Their Future UConn, could you see sort of networking, coordinating, cooperating, or collaborating with them?
At first, like when I saw it, I kind of thought coordinating, but it's mainly because we don't have any like financial resources or anything, but we would work, we do use other people's resources and other organizational resources, so maybe more collaborating with others.
Yeah, so more on the end, if you think of this as a bit of a continuum, more on the end towards cooperation and collaboration because you're working more closely and using what you have and sharing what they have type thing.
Yeah.
Great, thanks. And Brett, I'd like to invite you to unmute. And you mentioned working sort of with a fire and RCMP. Would you say that you network, coordinate, cooperate, or collaborate?
I would say cooperate for the most part. I think cooperate. I may have to think about that one for a little bit more actually, but for the most part, the exchange of information, sharing resources with one another, stuff like that, I would say mostly cooperate makes sense.
That's great. And that's why sometimes that does take more time, right? Because you know, what you're doing with them has to fit into both of your schedules. So that's why cooperating can be a bit more time consuming. Thanks, Breton. Melanie, for yourself, I think you mentioned the trail group and the not just the Trans-Canada Trail, but the organization that runs that. And I know it goes through Watson Lake. So would you think that you are more likely to network, coordinate, cooperate, or collaborate?
in regard of the TransCanada chair?
Or the organization that you mentioned in the introduction, I think that. Who you mentioned, or did you
mention? That was the TransCanada Trail Organization.
Yeah, so would it be just networking, or would it be more coordinating so that you're sharing their information with others?
I would say it depends. It goes almost like the whole range between network and corporate. There are certain things where it's corporate, and there are certain things where we just exchange information. So it really depends a little bit on the project, probably, or on what needs to be done, or the, you know. So I don't know. It varies at times, I would say. I could not say it's all the time corporate or it's all the time coordinate. Like, it doesn't go all of it. Well, it even sometimes would go into collaborate. Rarely though, but for certain things it does. It's a little hard to say.
No, that's actually a really nice way to explain working relationships between organizations, is sometimes they build up, so there's a bit of momentum to them. And other times, if that relationship isn't perhaps serving the purpose that we need at that point in time, we can let it last. But it still benefit us, and we know that it's there to provide support when we need to come back to it. So great answer. Thank you. That made a really good point. Deanne, how about yourself? You talked about tourism and cricket. Is that more of a relationship of networking, coordinating, cooperating, or collaborating?
Right now I'm acting as a manager for Department of Tourism and Culture, for Tourism Department. It's all together, right? Networking, coordinating, cooperating, and collaborating.
Yeah, so similar to what Melanie explained, that it's hard to pick one and say that's the only way that you have that relationship.
I'm leaning more towards the coordinating.
Okay, and thanks. That's great. I'll make a note of that. Remy, did you want to comment on how you tend to work with other organizations in your community? Do you sort of give them information, or do you coordinate events with them, or do you actually work with them to plan things? Thanks, Deanne. Bye. Okay, I think Remy might not be on the call anymore, too. So a couple of people have had to leave, so thank you. So, Ketan, you mentioned more, I think, coordinating or collaborating. And Myla, cooperating, collaborating. And it sounds like Nisha, sort of some ebb and flow, too. So, Igor, how about yourself with RCMP and Fire Department? What do you feel like you do?
I would say definitely collaboration is a thing that we do with those two different systems here. And that's
I think you cut out there, but maybe you can pop that in the chat. So Bretton has to go. So it sounds like everyone has to sign off today. Go ahead, Igor. Go ahead. Are you okay to finish off what you were saying, Igor, or you're all done? Maybe just you're frozen on my screen.
Collaboration is the biggest thing with both RCMP and the fire department.
Okay, that's great. Thanks. So you can see from that bit of the conversation that there are different ways that we can work with different groups, and there's a variety of different groups. And just try and keep in mind that sometimes the way you work might be one way, and sometimes you might need to do another way. But if you're only cooperating and collaborating, that can take a lot of time and effort, so it might mean that your network is a little bit smaller. So this wraps up our conference call. Thanks a lot for hanging on. I think a lot of people had commitments today that came up fairly quickly, and my apologies for sort of the system working off and on. I might consider using something else because I'm not so happy with it these days, but I will keep you posted. So I just wanted you guys to reflect on your role in the system, because the work that you guys do in recreation is essential. The system is not just about facilities, special events, programs, parks, or trails, but it's about people like you who provide experiences that lead to better physical and mental health and social well-being. So the recreation programs that you do bring people together from all walks of life and build a sense of community. And over the next couple of learning events, we're going to jump into what that community is and how we can work with our communities and get to know them better through recreation. So you do, this wraps up our learning event, and you have a RLA that's due on Sunday. If you haven't picked the part of the system that you're going to present on, please go ahead and do so that I can make sure everybody has a part. And if you have any questions, stay on the line after I stop the recording. So thank you so much for today, and happy Halloween for next week. No conference call next week.